Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
So before we start today's show, I wanted to get a word from our sponsor. So who here has tried to sell a house and been told by a real estate agent, yeah, mate, yeah, this piece of shit of a house, I'll get you $800,000 for this, no worries at all. Only to be told 3 weeks later, or 2 weeks later, or whatever, oh no, you'll have to drop the prices. You're just not getting any interest. And then it gets passed at auction, and you're stressed out trying to sell it, because you've got mortgage payments, bills, and everything else that comes with life. Well, stress no more. Barry Plant Craigieburn will look after you without the stresses of trying to sell a house. I've had first-hand experience in selling a house with Barry Plant, and have smashed the reserve price quite easily both times. Also, if you are looking at renting an investment property, they will look after you as well with getting the best tenants possible with thorough background checks. You don't have to do anything except watch the rent come into your account. Barry Plant will take care of everything. No stress and no worries. Just ask for Damien Cavalli at Barry Plant Craigieburn or any of the other friendly staff and they will look after you. Just say hashtag kangaroos or Dean Vasek recommended you. Also, Damien's a North supporter, so he's more than happy to chat about North while he's looking after your best interest as far as buying or selling a house or even renting an investment property. So just call Barry Plant Craigieburn on 9305 5533 or go to www.barryplant.com.au. Anyways, that's it. On with the show. Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I was joined by Troy Makepeace to get a post-trade analysis review. There's a lot to talk about, in particular Jason Lanfrancis. I wanted to get his thoughts on that. How we did in the trade period and, yeah, obviously, was he happy as well? Was he happy with moving down in the draft hand? And yeah, we talked about out of contract players that are left at the club: Jen Anderson, Kane Turner, Josh Walker, Atsu Bosnavolagi, where their futures are at. So I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Troy right now.
All right. So once again, joined by former North Melbourne player Troy Makepeace. Now, Troy, we just finished trade period. It's almost 24 hours since it's finished. I'll go through the ins and outs of it all. So we got a bit of business done early. Griffin Logan, Darcy Tucker for our future second and third round picks, which were the assistance package part of the AFL. We got in picks 2, 3, 40 and 43. Out goes Jason Lanfrancis and pick 1. So on a rating of 1 to 10 over the draft period, where would you put it?
Thanks for having me, Dean. Good to chat with you again, mate. Yeah, really, really tough one, I think. Like, it's hard to sort of judge, I guess, without the luxury of hindsight at this stage. So, initially, when you hear of pick one getting traded out, I think, like a lot of people, I'm sort of a bit wary about where it was going to go. But then, you know, as the days have gone on, you sort of see how it all unfolds and have a think about, you know, what potentially you can get with what we've got now. I don't think it's as bad as what it initially looked like early days. I think we've come out of I'd say maybe 6 to 7, probably 7 out of 10. Obviously losing pick one and losing Lanfrancis, you know, in the space of 12 months, not losing pick one, trading pick one, I should say. That sort of brings the number down a little bit, but you know, there's potential there now to come out pretty well on top. You know, hopefully over the next 2 years, when we get those early picks into the club and see how they fare over the next couple of years, I think we'll get a better guide as to how this mega trade happened and where we sit.
Yeah, what were your, like, first 5 minutes? Well, look, we might as well go to the biggest trade, Jason Lanfrancis one. Now, we'll go to that deal. What were your initial thoughts when it all happened within the first, you know, 5 minutes? Did you feel like we got full value for him or we sold a bit low?
No. Full value for him in the 12 months he was there? No, definitely not. What we get for him in terms of trade? Yeah, again, just sort of going on what I said before. We'll know more in the next couple of years as to how that's fared. But, yeah, you look at... I look back now, 12 months ago, I was an advocate for Horne Francis being number one, you know, and not any players. And then, I don't know about you, but I sort of look at, okay, would he be top five pick if we go back 12 months, knowing what we know now? You'd probably still say he's a top five pick, but you'd probably look at maybe Northwood bid on a father-son prospect or something like that, you know, like Dacos. I think Horne Francis probably slides back two or three spots in that draft. So I'm sort of trying to convince myself that we haven't lost a number one pick, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
That maybe potentially we've lost a pick three or pick four.
Yeah, I mean, by comparison, you know, Dacos was head and shoulders above him last season. It doesn't mean he's going to have a better career than Jason Horne Francis. I mean, there's obviously potential there. Now, who's to blame for all this? Or is anyone to blame for Jason Horne Francis? Are you upset with him, or are you upset with the club that they could have done a bit more? How do you feel about it all?
No, to put it bluntly, I'm pretty upset. I wouldn't say upset. I'm pretty annoyed, I guess, how you know, Jason Horne Francis has approached the last 12 months. I don't think he's given the club a chance. Definitely not paying the confidence back in what the club's shown him to get him number one, just to throw it back in their faces 12 months later, and to say that you know, he needs to be back home and you know, he needs to be part of a stable environment. Oh, I think it's a bit of a cop out. Yeah, you're just over an hour flight from home. You're 12 months into a career which you knew full well what you're going to get into, being a number one pick. But then to throw it back in the face of the footy club, to say you're going to get more support at Port Adelaide. You probably get as much support, but I don't know if you get as more support. You got the AFL Games record holder and, you know, some quality people around that club that he can learn the trades off. And I think it's a bit of a cop-out to say that he needs to go home, be part of a stable environment. He didn't give the club a chance at all.
Yeah, I mean, is it just a case of the going got tough and he pretty much got going?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, you're looking at it from the outside now. You definitely look, easily draw that conclusion. Again, I was a Jason Horne Francis supporter. You know, when the criticisms were coming throughout the middle of the year, particularly with the Silvani incident, the Goldstein incident, you know, I sort of backed him in, you know, to work through those situations and come out a better player and a better person on the back of that. But yeah, I think, yeah, without trying to sink the boots in too much, because I still think he's going to be a quality player and that sort of thing. But yeah, he's just taking the easy path, to be honest.
Yeah, of course. Judging by the social media comments, obviously Cameron Zerha was big into that. Would you think that he wasn't really on board with the players? And that's probably putting it generously. No, I don't think the players really liked him too much. Is that a fair comment, just judging by social media?
Well, yeah. you know what I'm like, mate, with sort of reading too much into reading between the lines of what things are written. But I think in Zerha's case, definitely, I think he didn't leave too much to the imagination there. So I think he sort of put where he stands. I did read comments about, you know, other players liking posts when that trade eventuated. I wasn't aware of it. I don't know who and I don't know how many, but yeah, certainly it does raise the eyebrows, doesn't it? To his standing at the footy club, and then you hear the rumours, you hear the murmurings. It's sort of everything's sort of pointing in that direction without us knowing the full details. Yeah,
I think a couple of them were Paul Curtis and Josh Goder. I think there might have been a couple more. I'm not too sure who they were, but Cameron Zerha was the big one. Obviously, given 10% discounts on bags, which sold out, which is a good bit of business for him. So
absolutely,
Yeah, he did. He was really smart with that, but it is what it is now, I guess. And yeah, you can only move forward. He's not there anymore, and yeah, we'll see how we go. Now we've got picks two and three out of that deal. We lost pick one, which we gave to GWS. Now there's it looks like we're looking at two players, and Brady Rawlings has pretty much said as much that we've almost already decided which two players we're going to go for. What do you think we need? Do you think we need more midfielders? I mean, we are pretty strong in the midfield depth. Or do you think we need a forward, a crummy forward, which is probably a Harry Cheezel type of player, or just go best available? If it's two midfielders, just go two midfielders.
So my son, he's all over like all this draft stuff. He knows a lot about all the kids that are coming through, not just footy, but he's all into, your fantasy football and NFL and soccer and whatnot. So he's pretty much onto whoever's coming through. And the big one, I'll sort of go by what he says because he's not far off the mark. He's a big fan of Harry Sheezel. I think he won the goal kicking in the NAB League this year, or certainly for his club.
Yeah, I think he was up there.
So I think he would fit the role potentially, and again, I say potentially because we're not sure what where he'll sort of stand in an AFL competition, but that Horne Francis role, similar in the sense that he can be a goal kicking forward. But I have read, and Dylan sort of let me know that he can go through. He's a forward that can go through the midfield, and the other one he is Wardlaw, being a midfielder. Obviously, Cadman's the forward. Yes, we need a forward. Or is the club banking on the likes of Comben and Colman Jones again? Like, we haven't seen the best of Comben really. Injury riddled couple of seasons. I like what I've seen from him. Obviously, you'd be included, and all North supporters want to see him on a more consistent basis out on the footy field. But I think the difference between Comben and Cadman at the moment is we know what Comben's capable of. We know he can play at the level. Cadman certainly has all the attributes, and I'm not discounting him being a fantastic player either. But yeah, it's to me from the outside looks like we're banking on, the likes of Comben and potentially Colman Jones to pick up a bit of slack in the forward line as a tall forward there. Throw in the likes of Harry Sheezel, Paul Curtis. His ceiling is very, very high. So, there's a lot of potential there for that forward line to become quite dangerous. Throw a couple of midfielder in there in the likes of Wardlaw. Maybe Satas as well. But yeah, I don't mind how we've gone about it. I like Brady's reasoning behind it. If you like all three of the potential top three targets, if you only have pick one, you're only guaranteed to get one. At least we've got the guarantee of getting at least two out of the three. So I don't mind that way of thinking at all.
Just with that, now you just said your kids are pretty much all over the draft. Do they rate Cadman? Did you ask him that question by any chance?
So Dylan's he's my 18-year-old. He's the one that's all over it. He does, rate Cadman, absolutely. He rates all three. Throw Cadman, Wardlaw, Sheezel, Satas as well. They're the first four definitely that'll come to mind for him. So Cadman's definitely up there.
Does he think it's a mistake almost trading pick one if he's going to go to GWS like it looks like?
I haven't really spoken to him about that. He didn't really, he wasn't 100% against it. He was pretty keen on the fact we're going to get two of, Sheezel, Wardlaw, and Satas. So if, and that is, of course, if Cadman does go to GWS, it certainly looks that way. But who knows these days?
Yeah, it could be a double bluff. So yeah, you never know. I mean, things can change pretty quickly. So yeah, I mean,
the other thing too, sorry, Dean, is that BWS have traded out, was it Taranto, Hopper, They've lost some midfield depth as well. So there is potential there that maybe they've gone, we need the best available midfielder. And, and if that's George Woodlaw, there's potential then for them to take him. So, yeah, it can't be discounted that they've just traded the pick one for just for Cadman, because Wardlaw's a good target for them as well to fill a void in their midfield.
Yeah, unless they've got targets, because they've got four or five picks in the inside 20. So whether they've got targets between that 10 and 20 range for the midfield, and they just really want a key forward, I'm not too sure. Look, I don't know their list analysis and what they're thinking at the moment. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Look, as far as we know, they're pretty keen on Cadman. That's through the media. I mean, you can't always trust what the media says, so as you'd know. But, yeah, look, we'll wait and see, I guess. If we've got three on the board and, yeah, those are the top three, then we'll just take the two of the three. So, yeah, no, it's going to be we've got a promising future ahead of us with two of the top three. We're going to get quality rather than quantity. So, yeah, hopefully they'll stay more than the 12 months, which will be good. So we'll see.
They're all from Melbourne, I think, aren't they? So that helps.
What's that, mate?
They're all from Victoria, aren't they? So I think that helps.
Yeah, hopefully they don't get too homesick if one of them's from Geelong or something like that. So, yeah, we'll wait and see anyway. So we've got a couple of players in, Griffin Logue, Darcy Tucker. What do you think they add to the team in 2023?
They add competition for spots. They add some depth as well. Griffin Logue adds versatility. Last sort of time I remember reading about Griffin Logue is that he wanted to sort of lock down a particular position, not so much a swingman role of rolling forward and rolling back. I have heard on the grapevine he wants to lock down a key position, defensive post. I think that could work in reasonably well with Mackay. Take a bit of pressure off Core as well. Whether he plays on it, whether Logue plays on like a third forward, and then can be that intercept type player that other clubs have utilised very, very well. That can certainly provide some stability down there. And Tucker, in all honesty, Dean, I don't know too much about Darcy Tucker. I've heard good things, but yeah, I haven't sort of taken too much of an interest in how he's gone. So I don't know a lot about him. I've just heard good things.
Yeah. I mean, he's played over 100 games at AFL. He's a mature body, 25 years old. Got a good left foot, bit similar to yourself. I see him more as probably a rebounding defender. Like, he reminds me a little bit of, I know Alistair Clarkson likes those left footers in the back line. He certainly did at Hawthorn. He reminds me a little bit of Brent Guerra, the way he uses the football and the way he plays. So I see him as that rebounding defender, to be honest with you. Probably a bit more reliable than an Aaron Hall, who's prone to turnovers and clangers occasionally. So I see him as in that role. So yeah, I mean, he did say that he wants to play midfield, but I just don't see the minutes for him. Like, we've got Tom Powell, Will Phillips will come back next year, Simpkin, LDU, Cunnington comes back to a full preseason as well. I mean, I can't see him getting a game there. You got Greenwood as well. So could you see him possibly getting into the midfield?
Look, I know I've used potential a few times already today, mate, but there is potential for that to happen. I think his focus should be, one, locking down a position in the team, whether that's a running halfback flanker, whether that's a wing role, like a defensive wing role or something along those lines. I like, the info you've just given there in regards to a rebounding halfback flanker. I like that as a needs position that I think we can be better at. Yeah. You mentioned Aaron Hall, but you get someone a little bit more reliable that can break the lines and hit targets. A lot of scores can be generated from the back half, and I think we've struggled in that area of late, so that can certainly shore that up. So if he can shore up a position across the half back line, consolidate his team in his position in the team, and then just use that as a foundation to build on, and then work your way into a midfield role as opportunities come up, which they will. You know, someone will either get injured or fall out a bit of form, and there might be an opportunity for him to put his hand up and go, you know, throw me in there for a little bit and work his way in that way.
Yeah, definitely. He's probably the one that I'm not too sure of where he exactly plays. If I had to take a guess, I'd say he'd be, you know, in the back six. But, Griffin Lowe, there is talk that he might take the best forward and it would just free up Ben McKay. Now, I think that would be a good thing because Ben McKay seems to, always get the best forwards each week and, you know, is a very good intercept player. So could you possibly see that, like that he takes the best key forward each week, which frees up McKay and probably gives Aiden Corr the third best tall, which is probably what he's suited to, I think.
No, if that's his goal, I love that determination and that confidence in himself to do that. Certainly if he can lock down the opposition's best forward, that's going to make a massive difference. Just from what I've seen, he doesn't look as solid as McKay. Hence the reason I sort of pinned him as a intercept marker, whereas McKay can lock down that key defender and then Lowe can sort of come across and help out that way. If he can lock down that position, yeah, absolutely, that'll be fantastic. And we know McKay can be that float across intercept marker as well. So yeah, if he can, fantastic.
Yeah, no, definitely. And they're both left-footers, Troy, which they're better players than right-footers, aren't they?
Absolutely. The more, the better.
Yeah, I agree. So with the draft hand and players we picked up, do you think – now, it's a pretty low bar. Do you think we'll be a better team in 2023? Well, surely we'll win more than two games.
I would like to think so, yeah. I think five games will be a feasible target. Anything more than that would be a bonus, but we can't be expecting to be slot into the top eight, particularly after the last 24 months we've had, and also after the last sort of 6 weeks we've had as well. So there's a hell of a lot of work to do, and there's still a lot of work to unfold in the coming weeks and months. So it's going to be an interesting time for the Kangas over the next 3 months, and getting that foundation in place to start building on. Just when we thought everything was ticking along just nicely, some things get thrown up in there, and we just got to let the process take its course and see what happens. And then once we know the fallout, then we can deal with where we're going to go from there.
Yeah, 100%. One thing at a time, I suppose, at the moment. Yeah, there's still a bit of doubt over Alistair Clarkson. We still don't have a CEO at the moment. Still got to finish off the recruiting team. So there's plenty of positions available for you, Troy, if the club reach out for you. So, we'll see how we go. So hopefully, we can get a CEO soon and, get a recruiting team, because we need a bit of stability off-field. And, obviously we'll... We want to know the future of Alistair Clarkson as well, where he's Absolutely. At. So hopefully that'll come to fruition over the next few months. Now, there's obviously talk of Jed Anderson joining now. Now, there was talk that he would go to Gold Coast if they lost Fiorini. Don't get me to say that three times really fast. But, if they lost him, then they would have picked him up. He wasn't picked up. Now, would you be happy for him to stay another year, or would you rather give that spot to a kid like a Tom Powell or a Will Phillips coming through?
No, I'd be happy. I'm a big Jed Anderson fan. I'd be happy for him to stay. He'll provide that leadership. He provides that hard at it, attack on the footy, which I really, really like the way he goes about it. I think he can add a lot. And I think if Powell and Phillips and that are good enough, and that's the spot that they're going to take, they'll be good enough to hold Anderson out of that senior spot. So I think it's a win-win. If Phillips and Powell aren't up for it, then they, you know what I mean? They won't slot into that spot. And Anderson's more than capable of filling that role as well. So there's potential that, two or three of them are fighting over one or two spots, and someone's going to get spit out the other end. And obviously, and this is no disrespect to Anderson, but if he's the one that misses out, because it'll be because Phillips and Powell are playing some good footy and earning their roles.
Yeah, 100%. Competition for spots is always good. We've always said after a couple of injuries last few years, we've struggled with in the depth area. So, worst case scenario, it adds depth and competition for a spot in a team, whether that's on half forward, rotating through in the midfield, between those three, and you might have, two of the three might play. And you're always going to get injuries, aren't you, Troy?
So,
it wouldn't hurt to have him for another season. I'm not so sure if he might be, he might go as a delisted free agent somewhere as well. So, how we go. Now, we'll finish off. We've obviously got a few others that are out of contract as well. Artu Bosnavolagi, Josh Walker, and Kane Turner now. Where do you think this leaves them? I'm not so sure what list spots are available and how many spots are available after draft picks. Let's say you had to keep one of the three or two. Who would you keep out of those?
It's who would I keep?
Tough question, isn't it?
Yeah, look, if I had to keep one and only one, it'll probably be Artu, Bosnavolagi. Turner and Walker are sort of, I'm not saying they're old, because I know I got delisted sort of 20, 25, 26. So, and I knew I had certainly a lot in me to keep playing. So they'll be of a similar boat. But looking at where our list is and where we want our list to be, are those two players going to be playing regular senior football, in 4 or 5 years' time when we're hopefully pushing our way into the finals? So I don't think they will be. I think, you talk about Jed Anderson leaving a spot open for him. I'd certainly take Jed Anderson over Walker and Turner and Artu as well. So I think again, I don't want to sink the boots in, but sort of trying to be as honest as I can, I think the three of them might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I think so as well. Now, with Artu Bosnavolagi, they've tried to turn him into a rebound defender. It hasn't really worked. I think he averaged like 5 or 6 touches a game without having him in front of me. Do you see, if he was to stay on the list, do you see him as a rebound defender, or do you think they should put him back as a crumbing forward? That's probably a spot that we've got available on the list at the moment. That's where he originally started. Do you think we go back to that if he is to stay on the list? Because there's a bit of talent there, isn't there?
Oh, there is definitely talent. I just think he gets found out a little bit as a small defender. He gets lost a little bit in his positioning, gets lost a little bit in locating his opponent. When the ball's on the ground, he can be very good. But yeah, I think when it comes in quick and he's up against as he will be against those quick opponents, he can get found out a little bit. So I don't think that would be a position for him going forward. You go back to small crumbing forwards. Who's he going to be replacing if we're to put him up there? The club seems to be liking what they're doing at the moment, putting a lot of time into Phoenix Spicer. Paul Curtis is playing some really good footy. He sort of probably get squeezed out in that area as well. Hence the reason I sort of think he might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, what about Josh Walker? We'll be one we've got Griffin Logue, Ben McKay, and Callum Dawson, I suppose. Would you like to keep him for another year? I mean, he will be 30 by the time next year comes around. Would you like to keep him for another year just as, a break glass in case of emergency? Let's say Ben McKay gets injured and we need another big key defender. Would you be happy for him to stay another year?
There's potential there, but you sort of look at, I guess, the upside, he's maxed out his ceiling, I think, and That'll be the only reason I think you'd keep him would be for that reason again. But is he going to be taking up a list spot of someone that you can put some, 12 months into, another 24 months into over the next couple of years and get a lot more out of that particular player than holding on to a spot for just in case. Like you said, Cullen Dawson really played some good footy in the latter part of the year. So he sort of takes that role. And then you got Corlo and Mackay as well. I think, yeah, we're not looking too bad. I won't say everything's looking rosy, but we're not looking too bad in that area, I don't think.
Oh, it's much better than it was 12 months ago. That's for sure. I mean,
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I remember talking to you 12 months ago. It was Josh Walker, Aiden Court, and Ben Mackay, and it was pretty much just picked itself. So at least we've got a bit of depth in that area. You think Kane Turner's in the biggest trouble out of them all?
Yeah, I think so. I think yeah that you look at where positions he can play, and who we've got in those positions at the moment. I don't think he squeezes any of them out. I just yeah, he can get under the skin of opponents. He did some good things, locking down roles on some very good players, but it's yeah, it's unfortunately, I won't say the only trick in his book, but yeah, it's I don't know. I hate, and I don't
Yeah,
want to feel like I'm sort of throwing him under the bus or saying that I don't like him, but certainly not the case. But yeah, in terms of our list going forward, I think he might struggle to stay on it this year.
I mean, you'd understand firsthand that it's a ruthless business sometimes. And I mean, it's easy for us to sit here. Oh, well, it's easy for me to sit here and say who should stay and who should go. But you've been on the other side of it too, so it is a tough and brutal business sometimes. But we'll see how we go. Obviously, that'll be decided over the next few days. And some important decisions going forward for these boys' future.
Absolutely.
Anyways, Troy, I really appreciate you coming on the show on a little bit of short notice. I'm sure I'll chat to you soon over the coming months. Did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, just hope your son's feeling a bit better, mate. Obviously, a father of four kids, it's ne never any good when your kids are not feeling the best. You feel a little bit helpless. And I hope you pull, gets. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the chat and look forward to chatting to you again anytime soon.
No, that sounds good, Troy. And I appreciate the nice words about my son. I'm sure he'll be fine in a couple of days. But
Absolutely.
yeah, no, I'm yeah, I'd like to get you back on soon, and we'll go from there. But other than that, enjoy the rest of your rain weathered Melbourne evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, mate. I'll speak soon.
So thank you to Troy Makepeace for coming on the show once again. A very humble individual, and it's good to get his thoughts on it all. So that's it for this episode. Now, I did put a Twitter question out there. I wanted to get all your opinions, all the supporters' opinions on the trade period. Were you happy? Were you not? I also put it on an Instagram story. Obviously, got a few questions as well. So yeah, I'll probably go through them around probably Saturday afternoon when I get a bit of time to myself. So that'll be a separate episode. So yeah, get your comments in. So I'll put that out on Twitter about I don't know early this morning, probably around 10:30. So yeah, I still got a couple of days till I do a recording of that show. So get them in on Instagram story or on Twitter. But that's it for this episode. Once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for putting out the lovely comments. You guys all know who you are. Likes, retweets, it really helps out the show a lot. It's going out to more North supporters, which is fantastic. Like I said the other day, even the AFLW episodes, I think I've got a record AFLW downloads. I'm trying to get the right English happening, but it's just not quite happening this afternoon. Might be the heavy rain that we're copping. But I've got a record amount of downloads for that from the last episode I did with Claire. So that's fantastic. And that's through all all your listeners are putting the word out there and retweets and commenting on the show. So I really appreciate it. Anyways, that's it for this episode. Like I said, I'll be back later in the week. I'll probably be back on the weekend. I'll give you a show so you can, when you have time, you can listen to it over the weekend or next week. And that's it. So today, I will leave a shout out to Darcy Tucker. Bye for now.